Verse 6. And having passed through Phrygia and the Galatian country, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, having come down to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. And having passed by Mysia, they descended to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There was a certain Macedonian man standing and beseeching him and saying, "Pass over into Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go forth to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to announce to them the glad tidings. That's fine. During our readings, and also in the ministry meetings, the practical side of the guidance of the Holy Spirit has several times been mentioned. And we have seen that in practice, this is a lesson which nobody can say that he has learned it for the rest of his life. It is always and will always be a thing of very practical value, and a thing in which we are will find ourselves every day. So to say to express a general statement as to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our practical lives as believers, as such who have received the Holy Spirit, which will answer every question once for all, will be an impossibility. So I would like to give a short word on this passage, which shows us in a very practical way how the leading of the Spirit was felt by the Apostle Paul and by his companions. Before entering into this short passage and giving only a few hints at it, I would like to make some general remarks as to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because we all are young and old, we are all, every day, if we are trying to live in communion with the Lord Jesus and doing His will, confronted with His question, where does the Spirit want me to lead? How does He want me to lead? To come to fulfill the will of God, the will of my Lord and Savior. And I think one could at least name four general rules which hold true in every case when we ask for the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I think the first rule is what that which I am doing, intending to do, which I am desiring to do in accordance with the script, with the word of God. This is a general rule which holds for all times and for all Christians, because the Holy Spirit will never lead me on a pathway which is contrary to Scripture. So this is one reason why we constantly, daily have to search the Scripture, even to know what the Spirit, what the Lord Jesus by the Spirit wants me to do in my daily life. There are many other reasons, we have seen them too, that the Lord wants to be glorified in our lives. But one is certainly to search the Scriptures to know what He wants me to do. For example, just one example, if a young man or a young woman, a Christian man and Christian woman wants to get married, it is quite clear that an unbeliever will never come into the question, because God's word says in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14, be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. This settles the question once and for all. So if I think I see somebody who pleases me, or if I saw somebody who pleased me, and I thought, well, maybe it's the will of the Lord, it can never be the will of the Lord that a believer is yoked together in marriage which lasts for, according to God's will, for the whole life with an unbeliever. One brother told me once, well, the Lord told me by his word and by his, told me by his spirit that I had to leave the meeting. He didn't go to the meeting anymore. I said, and he was a good friend of mine. And I said, how come? How come did the Lord tell you to leave the spirit? Well, he just clearly showed me I could not go anymore. And when I asked for the reason, he said, well, there is an evil in this assembly, in a person which is not purified. And that's why I have to leave. I have to leave. And then I said, does the whole assembly know this? No, he said, the whole assembly doesn't know that. I know it. Well, then he was a young man at that time. I was also not much older than he. I said, I tell you that the Spirit can never have spoken to you in this way, to leave the meeting. He said, how do you know? How do you know what the Spirit tells me? It's a personal thing. No, I said, it's impossible. It is impossible that the Spirit told you to leave that meeting because it's contrary to Scripture. And he said, what do you mean? I said, turn to Matthew 18. A brother sins against thee. What is the way? Not to leave the meeting, but to go to him. Have you been to him, with him and have spoken to him? He said, no. And fortunately, he accepted the Scripture. He said, I'm wrong. But you see, he was so convinced that the Lord had shown him the way to leave that meeting, but he acted contrary to Scripture, because Scripture says, if a sinner, if a brother sins against thee, go and convince him that thou mayest win thy brother. And we know that the sequence, eventually it might not end up in leaving the meeting, but to put out the evil person, but not this way. So this is a very important thing, that we know Scripture as to our pathway in this world. And I think the second point is that we always have to ask ourselves, is that which I intend to do to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus and of God the Father? And if we put this question, I think many things which we would like to do will be clear in the light of this question. Paul says, for example, in 1 Corinthians 10 at the end, verse 31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatever you do, do all things to God's glory. And he goes down to eating and drinking. We can even eat and drink only to our own satisfaction and self indulgence and not to the glory of God. This again shows how important it is that we give thanks for everything when we have a meal. We do it, even such simple things like eating and drinking, we can do and may do to the glory of God. And the third point I would mention as general rule, is that which I intend for the blessing of my brothers and sisters and for the good of men in the world? If I, by what I intend to do, would do harm to anybody in this world, brother or sister or man, worldling, it will never be the will of the Lord, because in the next verse in 1 Corinthians 10 it is said, give no occasion to stumbling, whether to Jews or Greeks or the assembly of God. So this here scripture again gives general rules for what is according to the line of the Spirit in accordance with the Word of God. And lastly, I would say the last point is, when I'm thinking about something, is it to glorify myself? And that will be always wrong. Self-exaltation, glory of oneself, will never be the will of the Holy Spirit in my life. He who glorifies, let him glorify in the Lord. It's also in this in this epistle, in the beginning and at the end of the second epistle. So we have here four points: Word of God, glory of God, word of my fellow brothers and sisters, and men in general, and avoid glorification of self. Maybe not all these points might be of relevance in every case where I look for the will of God by this leading of the Holy Spirit, as is clearly the case in this short passage which we have read, because there it was clear that Paul and his companions wanted to announce the gospel. Is that not a good intention? It certainly is. And still from this passage, it is clear that even the intention of preaching the gospel in itself is not a sign that the Lord wants it here and now under these or those circumstances. Even there, the good intention is not equivalent to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is a lesson. I think we will never have can say we have learned it, because normally we say, well, it's a good intention to do something good, and Paul wanted it. They wanted to go to a certain place to pray, to preach the gospel, and the first thing which we read here is that the Spirit, that this was forbidden, or that they were, one could also translate as it is done in the German translation, they were hindered by the Holy Spirit. And that is a very strong impression. He had the best of intentions, and his companions too, and still the Spirit hindered them, forbade them to speak the gospel in that place where they wanted to go, in Asia, in that certain part of Asia. The lesson we can take from this this verse here is actually that the intention, the good intention to do the will of God, is not equivalent to doing the will of God. So we have to bow, and the interesting thing here is that Paul, a very spiritual man, who sought the will of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit during all his course, in this case, obviously, without judging this foremost of all apostles, did not know what the will of the Spirit was. He acted contrary to the will of the Spirit. He hindered them to go, he forbade them to go to that certain place. And if we take the following verse, that when they attempted to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them a second time, not the same expression, which shows also a certain difference, because I like to compare this with parents and children. If a child wants to do something and the parents do not allow it, it would be a verbal and a very mild form of letting them know not to do this. I don't allow that. Appealing to the understanding and to the intelligence and to the submission of the child. Father, mother, don't allow this. Maybe children don't understand this very often. And maybe we don't understand this as Christians, as to the view, with a view to the Spirit of the Lord. But I think when it says here in the second, the verse 7, that the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them, that it was an influence that the Spirit influenced their understanding, that by they understood the Spirit does not want that we go there. Whereas in verse 6, where it is said that the Spirit forbade or hindered them to do that, that this is one step further. Because if the child who wants to do something and their father or mother forbids it, as yet starts to show signs of doing it, father and mother might hinder them, and that is take them by the collar and hold them back. So this would be more an outward thing, like a brother, this very frequent example, a brother wanting to go somewhere and preach the gospel and coming to the station and the train is gone. He's hindered. So this shows us that even with the apostle, a man of whom we cannot think too highly, these things happened in his life, that the Spirit did not allow him something, that the Spirit hindered him, and still it was in this way the will of the Lord was accomplished, which shows us that we don't have to be ashamed if once in a while, or more frequently, we see that the Lord does not direct us by the still and small and still inner voice, but sometimes by outward circumstances, which are clearly here in the first, in verse 6. I guess that this would be outward circumstances by which the Spirit hindered them to accomplish a thing which was good in itself, but not in accordance with the will of the Spirit. And that in the seventh verse, he did not allow them, that they had the intention, but after consideration, and I would suppose prayer, they said, no, we do not have the liberty to go there. We feel the desire, but there is something in our hearts which does not give us the freedom and liberty to go there, the boldness to go there. And they took this, as Luke writes, as the Spirit not allowing them to go somewhere. And it is not a thing which is of which Paul is rebuked here. Luke would be the last person to rebuke Paul in this. He gives this without any commentary. But then we find the third example, and that is this vision of Paul in the night, which must have occurred immediately after this, because it's all written in one passage. There's this apostle. One can imagine that he was a little unrestful in his spirit after these two different ways in which the Spirit did not lead them the way they had in their minds, which I repeat, in itself was not a bad thing. It was the best of intentions they had, and still the Spirit did not allow and even hindered them. And then this one night Paul has this vision, this Macedonian man standing there and calling, come over to Macedonia and help us. And then I always like to represent these incidents to my mind. I imagine that Paul the next morning got up and said to his companions, well, brothers, after all what we have gone through tonight, I have had something which I have to tell you. I've seen a man in a dream, in a vision, beckoning and telling me, come over to Macedonia. What do you think of it? And then they went on their knees and prayed. And it said, because I stressed it when I read it, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, there was a certain man standing and beseeching him and saying, pass over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, for only him, and this great apostle did not say, come on boys, it's all clear now, we have to go to Macedonia. No. It is said, we tried to go over to Macedonia and we concluded. So it must have been a little bit like I said just now. He told the incident to his brothers. And this is also a thing very instructive to all of us. Sometimes, as the scripture shows here, it is good to consult with brothers and sisters, to tell the exercise, and to get on one's knees and to ask for the help of the Lord. Here it was clear that the vision was a vision given by the Lord and by His Spirit. But after what they had gone through, they were not sure about it. So Paul must have told the vision, and the others concluded, and I interpolate there after prayer and consideration, that we concluded that the Lord had called. Short but instructive incidents which may help us not to be discouraged if we don't know and don't see the will of the Lord by His Spirit always very immediately, but to be encouraged by these incidents. That even the great Apostle Paul had to be hindered once, was not allowed once, and was encouraged by the consultation and prayers of the brothers, who in common concluded, and rightly, that the Lord had called them to Europe, because this was the first visit of an apostle to Europe, as far as we know, for the spreading of the gospel, although the Roman Church, the Roman Assembly, would have existed at that time, but not by the intervention of any of the apostles. A short, but I think an encouraging passage for all of us as to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our practical daily life.